What is up, all you badass digital entrepreneurs? Thank you so much for joining me here today. This is the High Value Skills Podcast, and I am your host, Simon Parsons. It is 2024, and I am so excited to get this party going. I hope you've enjoyed the last couple of episodes that I've dropped, where I'm sharing some of the things that I am doing in my life to prepare me to crush it this year, because I want you there with me. Let's go on this journey together. Let's find out what is possible and what we are capable of. On this episode, I'm going to be sharing with you three different trends that I believe you cannot ignore in 2024 if you want to thrive online and not become obsolete. Now, if you ignore these three things, you will get left behind. And if you use these three things together, you'll be almost superhuman. And I'll be sharing with you how I plan on taking advantage of them. And the reason why I want to talk about this, I'm going to share a quick story before we dive in. And this happened in between the holidays. So during the holidays, obviously, we have a lot going on. Everybody does. You have family parties, you have work events, you have friends that get together. But I was at a party and I was talking with two former teachers. And I was really curious to know their thoughts about teaching, what headwinds they faced as teachers. And I guess the conversation kind of started because they were talking about how they get treated by parents of the kids that they would teach, as well as administration from the schools that they worked at. And for the record, I think that teachers, as well as healthcare providers, are so incredibly valuable to our society. And I don't believe, because of the way things are set up systemically, I don't believe that teachers as well as healthcare providers get paid a fraction of the value that they provide. They're so very important. But also, I believe that our systems has its flaws that allows teachers and healthcare providers to slip through the cracks. And it's something that I believe that needs to be changed and something that I want to help out in making changes happen. If you know me, I believe thoroughly in taking ownership of things and not leaving it up to other people. So during this conversation, I was asking them a lot of questions about their thoughts on teaching and the headwinds that they faced. And it came up during the conversation that I was talking about how I make money sharing my knowledge through things like online courses and coaching. And one of these former teachers was absolutely shocked by this. And she was so surprised that people could even do this. She was like, how can you possibly sell your knowledge online? So I started to explain it to her. And she was really, really shocked by this. And she was like, don't you need a degree or certifications? And I let her know that I don't have any degrees. I don't have any certifications. But that's not stopping me from sharing my knowledge with other people online and being able to monetize that. And that was like even more mind-blowing for her, and not in a good way. I think she was really like triggered by this. So her next question was kind of in this tone of like, well, what makes you qualified to teach other people? And I thought about that for a second. What makes me qualified? Because I'm teaching stuff that I actually do. That's what makes me qualified. I've done it. And so now I teach other people. I love doing that. And then her next comment was, don't you feel bad about taking away jobs from other people? And this kind of offended me. I'm like, what are you talking about? Taking away? I'm not doing anything to take away jobs. I'm trying to help empower other people to take their knowledge and monetize that, to privatize their own knowledge instead of leaving it up to a broken system. And when it comes to schooling, I believe that technology and information moves at such a quick pace these days that traditional education simply cannot keep up with it. And I hate to say it, but there's nothing that I can do to change that. The only thing that you can do is not put your head in the sand, but to embrace the change and get in front of that. And I just thought about how often it is that change comes, like, for example, Blockbuster Video. If you don't know what that company is, back in the 90s, they used to have these big video stores that you would go to if you wanted to watch a video. You couldn't watch it on demand like you can on Netflix, but you had to go to this video store and spend like $7 or $8 or whatever and rent this movie. And they would give you this cassette or this DVD, and you'd have a few days to watch this. And if you didn't bring it back on time, then you'd start racking up all these fees. And in a few days, you could end up paying as much as it would have cost to buy that in the first place. So a little startup came up called Netflix, where they were like, well, why don't we just solve that problem by mailing DVDs to people and they could send them back whenever they were finished without late fees. And this company started picking up momentum. And there was a point where they went to Blockbuster Video to try to sell their company to them. And Blockbuster literally scoffed at them and laughed. So I'm a big fan of disruption. I'm a big fan of companies and innovation and fixing problems that need to be solved, right? Education in its current form is way overdue for disruption. I'm surprised it hasn't happened so far, or at least in a greater scale. But 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when I used to be a manager at the Salt Lake Country Club and I would have busboys and waiters and bartenders that were working for me, most of them were people who just got their degree or working on their degree, but a lot of them had a degree and they didn't know what to do with it. They couldn't monetize it. And so they were working to pay off their loans. But this was 25 years ago. So much has changed. And now you hear so much about student debt just piling on and people suffocating under the costs of education. Meanwhile, most jobs, they're not properly preparing people for the workforce or to be able to thrive or make money, right? There's a lot of benefits that come from school, social skills and whatnot. But I think that a big problem is people are still under the assumption going into school that they're going to have a career on the other side of that. But the problem is it's just becoming more and more costly. Meanwhile, information and technology is moving at such a quick pace that you can't keep up with this. So this conversation with this teacher really made me think that I want to have a conversation about this. How do we not put our heads in the sand like so many people do? And how can we embrace innovation and change and profit from this too? So I closed out this conversation with this teacher by telling her a story of one of my colleagues who is a second grade school teacher who is past the $1 million mark selling a $99 course to other elementary school teachers, teaching them how to create content for their students. This second grade teacher took control of her own skill set and learned how to use entrepreneurship and online courses to help her colleagues at a $99 price point. And she's crossed the 7-figure mark with that. That to me is incredible. Now, what's funny is when I said this to these teachers, or at least one of them, they rolled their eyes and started complaining about how much money that they made. Here's the thing is you got to get over the complaining or blaming other people or thinking the system is broken. It is what it is. And your feelings on that isn't going to change anything. We've got to get out of victim mode and into solution mode. The tools are out there. There has never been a better time in the history of the human race as right now to carve out your path as an entrepreneur, as an educator, as somebody who is in control of your skill set and the income that you make. And the way that you do that is by not blaming the system, but learning how to play the game, so to speak. All right, so let's dive into the three trends that you cannot ignore in 2024 if you want to thrive this year and the years that are to come. First thing, I haven't talked about this as much as I should on this show, but this is part of the whole equation right here, is don't get left behind with artificial intelligence. Now, here's what's happening in the past year. So a year ago, ChatGPT came out. And I was pretty excited, and I think a lot of us were having fun playing around with ChatGPT. For me, personally, I haven't used it as much as I could have over the last year, and the reason why is because, for me, one of the things that I do a lot of is creating content and doing a lot of writing, a lot of copywriting. And I've never thought of myself as a writer, but it's something that I've learned to get better at as I've become a better content creator. Now, what I was trying to do with ChatGPT was have it basically do some of the heavy lifting when it comes to writing content. And I found like it never had my own voice. So I would use it to brainstorm with or come up with ideas or create frameworks, but I didn't use it to its full capacity because at first I just felt like it wasn't, it just didn't have my voice. But more recently, what I've realized is it's not so much that it doesn't have my voice, it's that I wasn't communicating with AI as clearly as I could have and define things as clearly as I could have. So recently, what I've been really working on, they call this prompting, right? Is how you ask for information or how you give instructions to artificial intelligence. And the better that you do at that and the more creative that you are, the better results that you will get from artificial intelligence. Not only that, but there's been a lot that has happened in just 1 year. AI has gotten so much more advanced. But really what I've realized is that AI isn't this thing out there that's going to go replace everybody. But what it is it's going to make people who are creative, who are impactful and insightful and innovative, it's going to give them some incredibly powerful skills. It's going to enhance more of what they are already talented at. And what it won't do is people who lack creativity or innovation, it won't really do them any favors because they won't learn how to work with AI in the ways that they probably hope it will. What I'm saying by that is people who are like, well, I'm just going to go create a lot of content now. Now AI is going to allow me to do this. And then they go into ChatGPT, hey, write me a post. And then what it does is it ends up looking like a robot created it because they haven't thought about using it innovatively or creatively. But I feel like AI is going to be I don't feel like this. I know it's going to be extremely powerful for so many people. Now, here's the other thing too. When it comes to, we just talked about college and how schooling is becoming more and more obsolete. The other problem is AI is speeding this all up. It's making repetitive tasks become things that artificial intelligence can take over. So if you're one of those people that has a fear of AI taking your job, well, that's even more why it's important to get a better understanding of how to use artificial intelligence and how to work with it, because you can either capitalize on this and become really good at understanding it and using it, utilizing it, or you can let it literally replace what it is that you do. But I feel like the people who are a little bit more expansive on learning and being willing to adapt and be creative, this will become a superpower that already bolts onto their existing talents and makes them even more strong with it. So really excited to see what is to come. But regardless, it's happening. Doesn't matter how we feel about AI, if we don't like it or we do like it, it's here. So I would suggest that, like, if it does feel a little bit scary, tech and new innovations can always feel scary for us, but it's not going to help to put our heads in the sand with this. So I would suggest let's embrace this and learn as much as we possibly can. Now, a few ways that I've been using AI to my advantage is, like I said, I haven't been using it to replace my copy, but I've also realized that the better that I can communicate with AI, the better the output is going to be. But I have been using it to do a lot of heavy lifting on things like course outline, email marketing, research is where I really love this. Getting out of my own perspective and into the shoes of the client and understanding what it is that they are searching for. What problems are they having? What are they trying to find online? How do I get into their shoes? Because if I know how to do that, then I can find a way to solve those problems, but also get in front of those people. I love it because lately I've been having so much fun creating graphics. It is literally mind-blowing that I can create really, really cool graphic design, and it gets better. This is how I figured out the prompting thing, is the better and more detailed I can put in prompting information, the better the graphics that are going to come out. But it isn't just with graphics. It's with anything that you want to come out of AI. Here's what's cool too, is it can analyze large batches of data and basically give you an understanding of what's in all that data. Boil it down. It will help basically become a translator to large sums of data. The other day, I used it for some really cool Excel formulas. I needed to combine some sheets together and divide them up a certain way. And so I asked ChatGPT to break this down for me. How do I do this? Give me some step-by-step instructions. And it made it happen in a couple of seconds. The second theme that I wanted to talk about today that is so, so relevant and important in 2024 and beyond is the importance of understanding how to create traffic and how to create traffic in a way that you bring it into a contact list, like an email list, or some way to be able to directly communicate with this audience. Now, I've said this before and I'll say it again. My biggest realization from 2023 is that the new decentralized cryptocurrency is traffic. Because here's the thing, is every single business out there, no matter what it is, in order to sell their product, service, their offer, they need eyes on that to be able to purchase it. And you can pay for advertising or you can create organic traffic. It can be in person or it can be online. But without traffic, nobody has a business. Now, I mentioned in a previous podcast episode, I was talking about if you wanted to start a business and you're like, okay, I'm going to pick ice cream because everybody loves ice cream. And I'm going to not only do that, but I'm going to buy a franchise of like one of the most popular ice cream brands out there. If you did that, but you put it on some back road where you aren't getting physical traffic that's walking past that, it's going to be really hard for you to succeed. Even if you had a moderately successful brand of ice cream, but you put it on a busy main street of a town, you're going to do very, very well because people just walk across and they're going to see it and they're going to wander in and want ice cream, right? So it all comes down to traffic. Every business needs traffic. And here's how you can benefit from that. Back in the old days, there was like three television channels and they dictated what was on those channels and what studios they worked with and what content they wanted to put on their channels. But as social media became more prominent, this gives every single person out there the power to create their own media channel, to distribute whatever content you want, whether that's creating a website or selling courses or creating an ebook or an audiobook or being able to drop ship other people's products or be able to create content on TikTok, on Instagram, on LinkedIn, on Facebook, any of these platforms, starting a podcast, right? Or starting a YouTube channel. You literally have been given the power to create whatever type of content that you want, whatever content that you like most. So the real power here is to be able to find a niche, to be able to create content that is specifically designed for that niche and cultivate an audience that you can market to. Now, not only do you want to cultivate an audience, but you want to be able to move them onto some type of a format, some type of a contact list. Generally speaking, that looks like an email list, but I think at some point that's going to evolve as well. Right now, the default mode of owning your traffic is with an email list. So you use whatever platform to create content, you generate interest, you generate an audience, you start building your brand, you start building your name, you build it around a common theme, and then you use things like a lead magnet or events or whatever to move people onto an email list. And like I said, this could change in the future, but most of the biggest entrepreneurs in the digital space, they swear by email marketing. They all say the same thing. I wish I would have started this earlier. And this was something that I was very smart about in my most recent business. But my first online business in 2005, I was getting thousands of orders coming in and people dropping their emails to me, but I never thought about starting an email list. And I literally watched my business wither away because it wasn't performing as well on search engines, which is what I was using to generate traffic at the time. And the solution was right in front of me the whole time. I just didn't know about it. So my biggest warning, not just warning, but bit of advice to anybody right now is to carve out your own piece of traffic, to create your brand, use social media or whatever preferred platform to create that audience and find a way to start moving that to a list that you own, an email list. Like I said, at some point, I can't wait to see what's the next evolution of email. But for right now, that's what you've got to do. There is so much power in that because not only can you sell your own offers, you can sell that traffic to other people. You can, you know, refer people to products that you know, like, and trust. They call that affiliate income or have a sponsor. But what's so valuable these days is that traffic. It's valuable to you, but it's also valuable to other people who want to tap into the same audience as you. And the cool thing is it doesn't need to conflict. You can sell your offers and then you can also promote other people's offers if they don't conflict to the same audience. There's so much value in this. There's so much power in this. All right, my friends, let's move on to the number three pillar is focus. Okay, I said AI is the first one. Creating traffic is the second one. The third one I want to talk about is how focus is literally a superpower. All three of these are, and they all interact with each other. But focus, here's the thing about focus, is we are literally drowning out in distraction these days. Social media is only one component of this, but we are getting absolutely bombarded by advertisements and communication, DMs, emails, text messages. All this stuff is coming at us and it's making it so hard to go deep on things. It's making it so hard for us to stay focused and stay in one place. If you learn to cultivate focus and know exactly where it is that you want to go and eliminate anything that is not moving you in that direction, but also being able to go so much deeper to get into a flow state. So that's going to be a big focus of mine. I feel like I'm pretty damn focused and I feel like I'm highly productive. The big reason for that for me is because I don't overthink things. I don't spend any time doubting what my capabilities are or being focused on what other people are doing, you know, like comparison or imposter syndrome. I literally don't spend any time worrying about that stuff. So it gives me a lot of time to put into moving the needle, into creating action. But I will say one of my weaknesses is I get shiny object syndrome. I love finding new things. I get like intrigued by new ways and new strategies, new offers, whatever. I love creating because I'm a creator. But that can also keep me off of point. So one of my big focuses is just to narrow things down. And then the other thing that I want to focus on this year is doing what's called deep work. So getting immersed in things, shutting off all distractions and focusing on something and going way deep on that. Being able to immerse myself into where time goes by and you hardly even notice that an hour or 2 hours has gone by, right? Optimizing my focus, and there's a lot of hacks on how to do this. So I'll create a different episode that talks about deep work and about focus and some of the strategies around this, but it's not just about time management. They say that I used to think multitasking, here's an example of this. I used to think that multitasking was a good thing, but multitasking, when you switch from thing to thing to thing, it takes you so much longer to get back into a state of focus. And then not only that, but we have all these things coming at us, okay? So when it comes to social media too, I think it's so important to recognize that you're either a consumer or a creator, right? You're either dishing it out or you're consuming it. So can you spend more time creating content instead of like mindlessly scrolling or diving too much into, and to a point you need to, right? If you want to learn things, you've got to consume content. But it can be a problem when you are avoiding things like you're like, oh, I'm just doing some research, but you're endlessly scrolling instead of getting what you need to get done. So think about that. Think about how focus can be an absolute superpower. But here's the thing. Over time, we've gotten so many things that help us with productivity, but we're busier than we ever have been before. Think about that. We have all these ways to be more productive, but we are busier as a society than we've ever been. What does that mean? It means we're addicted to being busy instead of productive. So think about ways that you can harness some of these tools, these ways of being more efficient, but not letting it just fill up more time and make you even more busy. So my friends, let's crush this together. Again, let's recap this is number one, do not get left behind with artificial intelligence. Learn to embrace it and get in front of it. Number two, traffic is the true decentralized cryptocurrency. So become a master of generating traffic, creating an audience around a certain topic or a niche. Then number three is to realize that focus is an absolute superpower, my friends. Your call to action is to drop into the show notes. I have my free PDF, The Ultimate Online Business Playbook. And then I also have my Build Your Online Empire using Kajabi, which is my favorite all-in-one app to do everything that I do, including creating communities, creating courses, digital courses, events, my email list, lead magnets, sales pages, checkout pages. I do it all with one app that saves me time and money. It's called Kajabi. And you can get a free 30-day trial of Kajabi plus a course that I built for you if you use my affiliate link. The reason for that is because I get a commission on the back end from Kajabi at no extra cost to you. So I want to do something else to create value. Inside of this course, I literally walk you through and show you how I am using this app. I give you step-by-step instructions on how to build the most important parts of your online business. All right, my friends, thank you so much, and I will catch you on the next episode.